Hey everyone, welcome to the Pot Awareness Podcast, and thanks for joining me. This podcast is specifically for about educating and raising awareness for animals and rescues and organizations across the United States and world. It really goes a long way towards this mission when our listeners rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, and all of our other podcast platforms. Also, be sure to check us out on our official website at pawawareness.org and on social media at TikTok, Facebook, and Instagram at pawawareness_podcast. You can check us out for all of our latest bits and clips of our podcast, as well as Pet of the Week and Pet of the Month. If you're listening and involved with an animal rescue organization or have a story of your own that you want to share, reach out to us at info@pawawareness.org and we can get you on the podcast. Thanks for watching, and I hope you enjoy this episode. Hey everyone, welcome to the Paw Awareness Podcast. In today's episode, I'm talking with Robin Coleman, the Community Engagement Manager with Woods Humane Society. And that's all the way up in San Luis Obispo, California. So I'm going to go ahead, Robin, you can go ahead and introduce yourself, the organization, and what it is that you guys specialize in and do.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm always excited to talk about animals and what we do here at Woods Humane Society. We are on the beautiful Central Coast. We're lucky to be right in the middle in San Luis Obispo, in between Los Angeles and San Francisco. And we try to do as much as we can to support homeless animals and celebrate the human-animal bond here at Woods Humane Society. We are a nonprofit. We are a privately funded nonprofit here on the Central Coast. And it started in 1955 with a lady named Frances Wood out in Napomo, had some property and wanted to help a few animals and got a few community members to help out. And here we are, and we are moving and shaking and growing. And I would love to know what she thinks about what we're doing now, helping over 3,000 animals a year. We're started just a little farm helping a few cats and dogs here and there. So we're really excited about the growth that we have been able to see over the last 50 plus years. And San Luis Obispo it's a wonderful place. So I always say, like, I probably couldn't do this work anywhere else. It's a pretty adoption savvy community, very animal friendly. Pets are really part of the family. People do choose to adopt. Normally that's their number one way to get animals. We still have a lot of work to do in this community. It's definitely not easy, but we are lucky to live in a pretty animal friendly, open adoption community. So we do a lot of adoptions. We usually house and care for over 3,000 cats and dogs a year. Since we are a nonprofit, there's no government. We're not the legal agency. So we are an adoption center, spay and neuter clinic. We have wonderful humane education programs. So we're trying to get into the youth at an early age so they can hopefully take my job one day and they can be animal lovers and animal advocates and really just trying to create responsible pet ownership in this world. We all need more kindness. We all need more compassion. And so we start talking to kids young. I'm going to a preschool next week and going to share a little song and a little story and just kind of start getting them used to responsible pet ownership. We do a ton of spay and neuters, and we help a lot of community cats and try to do the right thing but with community cats as well. So that's a little bit about Woods. If you have any other, any questions on any of those things, happy to share more.
Yeah. I think you touched on how, adoption, a lot of people in that area that choose to adopt. And I could say this, it's similar here in Santa Barbara. We're just, an hour and a half south for those of you who don't know, and where we're located. And it's the same here where I feel like adoption is pretty highly chosen. I want to touch on, and this is, I haven't really talked to too many organizations like this, but when you are a facility in a high, in an area that does have a higher adoption rates, what does that look like on your guys' end? And can you go into that a little bit?
Yeah. Well, one, it makes us really busy. So I've been at Woods for 8 years, and I've seen a lot of growth in those 8 years. I came to Woods as an adopter. I never knew of Woods before. I moved to the area and I got the bug like a lot of other people in this area. Everywhere I went, I would stop at a stoplight and look over and there was a dog in the truck with their owner. I go to lunch and there's a dog on the patio. I spent Christmas on the beach in Morro Bay watching people throw balls to their dog and thought, this is the most joyous thing I've ever seen. Like just watching dogs freely play in the ocean was like amazing. And we came looking for dogs and I walked into Woods and it was clean and it was friendly and it smelled good. And there were cute pictures everywhere of animals and the vibe of the staff just radiated love and caring. And I was like, wow, this is like no other animal shelter I have ever been to before. And I was super impressed. I fell madly deeply in love with a dog and his painting is right above my shoulder. And that is Dexter, and Dexter has changed my life. And he is what people called your heart dog or your soul dog. I've had animals my whole life, but nothing like my Dexter boy. And so I was so, so thankful and impressed with my experience at Woods and how I could tell the staff loved the animals and knew things about them and answered questions and, you know, let me spend time with them and ask my silly questions. It wasn't just the brown dog over there or kennel 56. It was, oh my gosh, we just have a dog in. His name is Dexter. He's so funny. He's this, he's that. Okay, I have to meet this dog. And of course I fell in love. And so a few months later when they were hiring, I thought, this is something I want to be a part of. And here I am 8 years later, but it allows us to do a lot of adoptions. It allows us to take risks on some animals that are out of options at other places that are getting overlooked. I kind of feel like Woods has a little bit of a secret recipe and it just works. These are the same dogs. They're not fluffy, full-bred dogs coming from, you know, some magical place. These are dogs that are in county shelters or owner surrenders that can't keep them any longer. We have had dogs that have been at other shelters in different counties or our county for months and months looking at a wall. And they come to Woods and we give them a little TLC and we take care of them. We give them some love. We give them toys. We give them walks. We give them bath, whatever it is they need. And they just blossom. And we just have people walking through the door. Our phones are ringing. Our emails are full and people are at our doors when we open. And I know that that is not the case at a lot of other shelters. And so when our staff gets a little overwhelmed or they're like, oh my gosh, we're so busy. Oh my gosh, there's more people standing outside. I say, this is a great problem to have. There are other shelters that don't get any foot traffic. There are other shelters that their phones are not ringing. So we are able to really do a lot more for animals here because we have a wonderful community that steps up to adopt. We've had 18-year-old cats that people are, nobody's going to adopt that cat. I think we can give them a chance. And sure enough, that cat's been adopted. We keep bonded pairs together, which a lot of other shelters don't have the resources or the capacity to do so. So if two animals come in, or they get transferred and we have information that they've lived together their whole life or their owners passed away, they've lost their home, they've lost the only person that they've loved, and now they're going to lose their best friend, the only thing they have left. No, we're not going to let that happen. So we'll take the time, even if a dog will sit, the pair will sit here for 6 months because we won't separate them. To us, that's worth it. So we have so many wonderful success stories, medical cases, animals with special needs, behavior challenges, dogs with waivers. Maybe they have a bite on their history. Maybe they've been in a scary situation and it wasn't the right fit. We're careful and we definitely have a responsibility to the community, but we have trainers, we have waivers, we counsel them. We'll make people come back a few times. You know, we really put a lot of care and thought into these animals and their homes. And so it's a little bit of a, like I said, a secret recipe. We have a wonderful social media presence. We do a lot. We have a wonderful volunteer team that takes amazing photographs. If I were to give any tips to any shelters or rescues out there, a good photo is worth whatever, if it's a Photoshop, you know, software, if it's a good camera that you might be able to get somebody to donate. There's photographers around your town in high school classes or colleges or professionals that might want to help out. A good photograph really makes a difference in this industry. And it seems kind of silly, but we have really good professional type photos of all of our adoptable animals on our website. And we put a little bit of time into writing a profile for them and making it cute or silly or showing off their characteristics. So, and really caring for them and genuinely loving them and wanting their best. It's kind of the secret recipe to do adoption. So hopefully that answers your question, but we do take the extra steps. We promote them. We make videos of them. We shout it from mountaintops. We do creative things. We put them in silly costumes. That's usually our last trick in the book. Like, we've tried everything else. The dog's going in a bunny costume, or the dog's going in a hot dog costume. And you know what? Sometimes that's just what it takes to work out. So we don't give up on them. We keep trying. We advocate for them. And we are their family until they find their forever family. And I think that's what makes us pretty darn special.
That's awesome. The secret sauce is hot dog costumes. So
that's amazing. And a good photo.
And a good photo. That's no, I agree. I think the photos, I think that, you know, just spending a little bit of time, and there's probably people wherever you're at in your area that want to help. I mean, like you said, I mean, that there's like at the end of the day, like it's this, all these organizations are just filled with volunteers. And I feel like every person can kind of bring something unique to the table. It doesn't have You're to right. be like, we all have like that special skill set that can help these animals, even if it's just our time. So
yeah. And we always ask like our volunteers or people in the community, like if someone comes up to us or they say, like, we always ask them if they have any special skills or maybe it's fundraising, maybe it's laundry, maybe it's crafting and they want to make toys for us. Maybe it's photography, maybe it's videography, you know. Colleges and high schools has a plethora of talent for nonprofits or organizations or private rescues. A lot of classes and, you know, colleges are requiring service hours to do something. So we happen to be smack in between a Cal Poly, who's, you know, a four-year college, and a junior college, Cuesta College. And a lot of classes are requiring some sort of service work, service hours. It could be 6 hours. It could be 30 hours. Of course, it looks good on a resume. So again, a little tip, sometimes organizations are a little bit like, oh, it's more work to train somebody, or it's more work to spend an hour meeting with them. We're all so busy. We're tired. We're overworked. We're emotional. I get it. But I have found some of the most amazing jewels by saying yes to people. We had a Cal Poly graduate who was a volunteer. She walked dogs. She hung out with animals here at Woods. And she came to me and said, I have an idea for my senior project at Cal Poly. And I said, okay, what are you thinking? And she's like, I want to create an app for you guys. And I said, an app? Okay. So she created a whole volunteer management app that all of our volunteers can get download onto their phone. And if they do kennel time with the dog, they can mark it. We can put notes in there. So at the end of the day, we can see what dog had a walk, what dog had kennel time, what cat got brush. We can track all these things that I was running around with the dry erase board every day, every hour, like updating. And her senior project, here we are 6 years, still going strong at Woods. She now works for Google, and she's an amazing, but just had an idea that I was willing to sit down and say, okay, let's try it. And, you know, we have wonderful photography. We get volunteers. We have people in the community that want to help us. I be open to saying yes. And maybe it's a little work in the beginning and it takes a little bit of management and somebody does have to kind of assist them. But gosh, we can get a lot in return from the community. Businesses are usually willing to help, service groups, other nonprofit organizations. Sometimes we get other people reach out to us, and you know, it feels good to give back. And like, I invest my life and career to animals, but I love going and volunteering for other organizations also. So I know a lot of rescues and shelters are in a bad situation right now, and they're all overworked and all the shelters are full. But just like, ask for help and be open to new ideas and be creative and find out what their talents are. Maybe it's art. Someone can put on a fundraiser. Like, there's all kinds of things that can still come back to benefiting the animals.
Yeah, that's such great advice. And what advice would you give to someone who was wanting to start work and rescue, right? Like, I actually like, hey, I want to sit down. This is a career I want to get into. Do you have any advice for them?
I do get asked that sometime, and I probably don't have the guts to do it myself. I'm glad I got started with an organization that was already well established. It takes a village. You can't do it alone. You have to be willing to have partners, have mentors. Social media is key. Foster, like if you had a little group of fosters who you could pull some animals or foster baby kittens, like that's how you could start. Like one dog at a time, one litter at a time. Obviously it takes some money and some business practices and some paperwork and those types of things. But you know what, if your heart's in the right place and you want to do good, there is definitely opportunities out there. There's a lot of networking groups, a lot of things like Facebook groups and different animal groups that people can join. Don't reinvent the wheel. Like people have been doing this for years, like work together, collaborate. A lot of times I think people think they're competition or, other rescues can be competition or other county shelters and nonprofits are competition. We literally share a parking lot with our county animal services. Like we are friends, we are neighbors, we work together. We are fighting the same fight, like we are in this together. If you adopt from them, if you adopt from us, if you adopt from Santa Barbara, it's all a win for animals. And so collaborate, network, use each other's resources. There's policies written, SOPs out there that people can view. So really like take the time to kind of search and find a little network of people to bounce things off of. Like I said, a lot of people have been here before. Don't recreate the wheel. Just do what you can and start small. Start small and have some goals. And if I were to try to do something right now, I know I would have to have some good social media. I think what makes or break it these days is social media and fosters. You have to have a group of people that you can do. You cannot do it all yourself. You really can't. Your life will, be consumed, but not in a good way. So we want to do it in a healthy, balanced way and don't try to do it alone. But, we love that idea of more people starting their own rescues, fosters, rescue-based, shelter, my shelter, Woods Humane Society. I would love to give you a tour and love to show everybody around. I call it the Disneyland of animal shelters. Check out our website, woodshumanesociety.org. Check out our cute animals. Check out some of our videos. It's a beautiful shelter. We work really hard. Our staff cleans for 3.5 hours every single day, and we open at noon. Every single day, things get turned over. Dogs get new blankets, toys, food bowls get clean every single day. It's a beautiful place, but it's still a stressful place for an animal. There's nothing like a home. So if we could build our foster network, that would really help save a lot of animals. Most shelters are just out of space. So if anybody can help with space, whether that's starting their own rescue or agreeing to foster, that is really needed this time. I'm sure you've talked to people about post-pandemic and how the shelters, like everything was on pause. And then when they hit play, everybody just got slammed. And we didn't have the staffing or we didn't have the resources that maybe we had before. So everybody's kind of hurting right now. And there's a lot of large dogs. And that seems to be the least fostered animal. So kittens, we can find fosters for, puppies, we can usually find fosters for, maybe a small dog, we can find a foster for. Large dogs, I think the next few years we're going to have our hands full with.
And do you think that's just because it's like a California space thing? Like I know Slow is not, maybe it's not even as bad as Santa Barbara, but like space here, I live in a 500 square foot studio, So what do you think, what's your take on that?
I don't think it's a space thing. It's just a different kind of commitment. It's a different, yeah. You're talking to someone who has a Mastiff mix. I have a 110 pound dog, but it's just, the 1 to 2 year old 50 plus pound dogs, they usually need a little bit more activity. They usually don't really like to be left alone all that much. If they're left in a backyard, they're probably going to get themselves into some trouble. Can you leave a chihuahua on the couch, and play some classical music? Probably, kittens, kittens are a very unique thing. Yes, they do take a lot of time. But it's kind of a different responsibility, a large dog. And unfortunately, I'm sure like in Santa Barbara, housing is tough. We are the most pet friendly community. You can go to any freaking business. You can go to hotels. You can go to anywhere you want with your pet. but you can't find a rental. And so that sucks. We got some work to do on that front. I would encourage any of your listeners that want to support a cause, like, let's get together and work on property management companies, and maybe it's PSAs, and maybe it's just information. You know, animals have a bad reputation, and I would say 80% of animal owners are responsible and do the right thing. There, of course, are some bad apples in there, and they make it really hard. But man, that would change sheltering if we could work on some pet friendly regulations, breed discrimination. You know, again, I think you've probably noticed, when I started 8 years ago, Chihuahuas and pit bulls were like, oh, every shelter has so many Chihuahuas and pit bulls. We do not have that many Chihuahuas and pit bulls anymore. It's Huskies and German Shepherds all day long, every day, every transport, every shelter. You look on any website for shelters, and not even just in California. It's just there's Huskies and Shepherds have inundated really shelters. And those are the hardest ones to keep sheltered. And they're usually a unique adopter. It, you know, Husky and German Shepherd are not for everybody. So it's an interesting thing. I think what I'm seeing is a lot of 1 to 2 year old large dogs. So I'm thinking it's not just from our area. These are dogs that are getting transferred in from like Kern County, Avenal, Fresno, different areas. If I, from what I can gather, and I'm definitely no expert, but it seems like a lot of the like spay and neuter services in those communities, all of those went away during the pandemic. And so there were no mobile clinics. There were no affordable options. So a lot of unwanted litters were being had and probably passed around. And now we have these 1 to 2 year old dogs who probably aren't that well socialized. And, you know, maybe without the pandemic, maybe they wouldn't have been born. And now they find themselves at shelter. So we are not seeing a lot of people just returning animals like, oh, the pandemic is slowing down. I got to go back to work. Here's the dog I basically used for a year. We are not seeing that. I know the news has kind of reported a little bit on something like that, but we are more seeing just like a lot of young animals that probably did not, a lot of people didn't get spay and neuter services pretty much during the whole pandemic. Woods was able to still do a lot of spay and neuters, and we still offered that, but other places were like closing down. They didn't have staff. They definitely aren't bringing in mobile clinics to do a bunch of spay and neuters in like, you know, underserved areas. So unfortunately, there was a lot of cute puppies that turned into adult dogs that turned into, I don't have a home, and now they're in shelters. And they take a little bit longer to get adopted. You know, little dogs fly out the doors, and that's kind of what's become pretty popular in California. You know, there's organizations that are putting little dogs on planes and sending them to Canada and all these different states. Like, little dogs are very desirable, and I get it. Who doesn't like a little dog? But the larger dogs are taking a little bit longer. You know, they do come with a little bit more responsibility, but man, they're still just so many treasures in these shelters that people are looking past. So every single one that we get out the door is a win for us.
That's so cool. And I know that you mentioned too, you mentioned, you know, maybe taking on even some special needs dogs, and like, I guess, and this can go outside of the special needs dog, but what advice would you give someone who maybe has never fostered before? And I'll expand it to someone who's never adopted before. You know, like, what, maybe not only to special needs dogs, but just in general, what advice would you give them for someone like that?
I mean, obviously their personal situation, if there's any way that works for them, whether it's their work schedule, their family situation, their housing situation, if they can check those boxes and it's something that they've been interested in, they should just have a conversation with someone, maybe somebody else that's fostered before, or call a place like Woods or whatever your local animal rescue is. It doesn't take anything real special, right? I mean, it just takes like a little bit of time. You need to feed them. You need to give them a little physical activity, but you're really just giving them some security and some safety until they find their forever home. We just had a dog that came into our shelter 2 days ago, and he's been with his family for 5 years, and they were moving out of the country and could not take their pet with them. that sucks. It's heartbreaking to hear those stories. And of course, I'm sure they would have wanted a different outcome, but sometimes people are faced with those scenarios and they need somewhere to go. So Woods is a good solution for people like that. But this dog came in and within 2 hours was biting the bars, ready to break his teeth because he was so stressed. This dog has only known one family. He's only known a home environment. And you plop him in a kennel with a bunch of other barking dogs, with new people, and it's tough. We immediately had to put him on some medication so he wouldn't break his teeth. We tried to like calm him down, brought him in our offices. Like, this is what Woods does. We do all hands on deck. This dog needs us. What do we need to do? Brought him in our offices, tried to calm him down, looked in his file. Like, this is like probably the best dog that we've had at Woods in 6 months. Like, this dog knows every command. He waits till you tell him he can eat. He loves to play with bubbles. Like, he loves to chomp on bubbles in the air. He knows sit down, go to your place. This is a great dog who is freaking out at an animal shelter. Thank goodness we had somebody who was willing to foster him, and he doesn't have to sleep in a shelter. He's available for adoption on our website. We will talk to people. We will schedule appointments. She lives a few miles away. She's promoting him on social media for us, getting cute photos and things, and learning how he is outside of here. We only know shelter dogs in a shelter. So when they can go to foster, even for a week or two, it's so much better. It's less stress on them. They won't get sick. They won't be anxious. They won't develop bad behaviors. Plus, we get to gain some information. So even short-term fostering, emergency fostering, you know, it's not that you have to commit to keeping this dog for 2 years. Studies show that even a night outside of a shelter, the serotonin levels in dogs change. Like, even just some restful sleep, a little break, is so beneficial to animals. So think about fostering. And again, if it's for Woods or for another organization, I know there's a lot of organizations that are having to make really hard decisions right now. And they are like literally like doing drive-through foster. Like, If you will just drive through, we will talk. You don't even have to get out of your car. We will talk to you. We will figure out what you can handle, and we will bring the car. We will bring the dog out to the, like, it's that, or they have to make decisions on euthanizing. So like, fostering can truly save lives. Same thing for baby kittens. Baby kittens can't live in a shelter. Like, they need to be in a home environment. If we don't have fosters, that will cause the lives of these animals. So consider fostering, consider donating, consider volunteering, consider whatever your skill is and your special thing is, you do it. And you know what else? Sharing on social media. A lot of people like, but we need shares. If you share those, please, if you share those posts, like Kai, the dog that we got into foster, we did a social media post. We said, this dog is stressed. He needs out of here. He had a family. He lost his family. This is all these good attributes. He needs a home. Please help us. Share this post if you can't adopt. And it works. You just got to ask for the help. So, sorry, I could just go on and on and on, but hopefully that answers that question.
Yeah, that's great. And I mean, you mentioned too, developing bad behavior or like bad habits. And I was just in Arizona and there was this dog that like kind of had a little bit of trouble and it couldn't get adopted. And like a year later, it's this completely different dog in not a good way. And it's like you said, these shelters, it could be the best shelter like yours, but it doesn't matter. And I like, that's why I'm always encouraging people, try and foster. Like, these dogs are it. And the longer they're in the shelter, the more time it takes, I feel like, for them to kind of open up a little bit. So
you're right. And I mean, it takes a toll on them too. I mean, it really can start to affect them mentally and physically, you know. Dogs have natural instincts. They have natural tendencies. And when you're in a kennel for 22 hours out of the day, their natural tendencies cannot be, you know, executed. So they want to move their bodies in certain ways. They want to sniff. They want to move. They want to jump. They want to do different things. And here at Woods, we are lucky to have the resources to do that. We rotate dogs in and out of play yards throughout the day, 3-4 times a day. If they like doggy friends, they get to go play with doggy friends. We have almost a mile walking path with a beautiful grass area, walking path, that they just get to go out and sniff and pee and poop and do all the things that dogs like to do. We have play yards that people can toss balls to them. And it's still stressful here. Even with all those great, wonderful things, it's still freaking stressful here. It's not fair. They did not ask to be born. They did not ask to be living their lives in a little kennel. It's not natural. So a short term is fine. They're safe. They're healthy. They're happy. Some dogs and cats mentally hang in there. As you said, there are some shelters. And when I first started here, we had a dog that had been here for 1 year. We had a cat that had been here for like 400 days. It's just not right, you know, but some of them hang in there. And because our staff cares for them so much, they can mentally hang in there. But even after 2 weeks, it can mentally start to change an animal and they can start to develop certain behaviors or stress. I'm sure you probably talked about kennel presentation and barrier aggression, like the sweetest, sweetest little dog. It was just playing with this dog out in a play yard, having the best time of their life. You put them in a kennel and the same dog walks by because there's a barrier. They're going at each other like crazy. It's just a different dynamic. It's a different energy, stress level. You'll just see things happen if in a normal setting. That's why if dogs are acting a little silly here, they're being a little bit naughty here, we mostly feel pretty good that once they get out of here and they're in a normal setting and they're not being passed around and they're getting a walk and they're having a routine, they're going to do just fine. And that's why, I mean, we have success. We have like a 98.3 success rate in adoptions. I mean, it's pretty amazing what we're able to do here, but you know, we have those challenging dogs. We have some right now. We have some that are going on 7 months here with us and we're not going to give up, but it starts to wear at them. You know, they start to detach a little bit. So if we had more fosters and especially anybody who had any sort of like dog knowledge or training knowledge, who understood dog and body language and things like that and how to keep them safe. Maybe they don't meet new people well. Maybe they're reactive to dogs on leash. So let's not take that dog to the dog beach. Those types of things, we could make a real difference. Like we already are making a difference, but we could just do so much more. So I know and some other rescues are in desperate need of that. And so give those animals a chance, whether it's adoption or fostering or promoting them, sharing their stories, you know, it really can, you guys can all make a difference.
That's amazing. What a great advice. And that was one of my questions was just like, what were some things that you feel like could really improve your guys' situation? And that sounds like it. So I want to ask you too, you've already mentioned it, but where can people follow you guys, see what you're doing, and just kind of keep up with the journey?
Yeah, well, definitely woodshumanesociety.org is our website. All of our information, adoptable animals, some of our fun stories, just kind of how our organization works. But do yourself a favor and follow us on social media. I'm pretty proud of our social media. It's the cutest pictures, cutest videos. You know, I think we do a pretty good job at storytelling. You know, we share our heartbreaks and we share our successes and really cute animal pictures. There's nothing better than that for social media. So just follow us on Instagram, on Facebook, just Woods Humane Society. I don't think you'll be disappointed. We feature a couple animals a day. We feature different stories. So I think you would be happy if you followed Woods on social media and, you know, just like I said, share some of those posts, or if it's your local rescue, maybe you don't do Facebook a lot, maybe you're not, but man, it helps these organizations. I couldn't imagine how people did this work before social media. I couldn't imagine how they could market animals and the reach. So check us out, woodshumanesociety.org. If you're ever coming through beautiful San Luis Obispo, you can find us here. Do yourself a favor and check us out.
Awesome. Thank you so much for coming on. And all of those links will be in the description below, wherever you're listening to. Once again, thank you so much for your time and sharing a little bit about yourself and the organization.
Anytime. Thank you so much. Thanks for what you do.